Welcome to Deep, where we invite you to take the plunge and dive deeper into a daily encounter with God's living word. Journey with a collection of personal reflections of other souls as we all draw nearer and deeper to God's heart.
Hello, my dear brothers and sisters. Today is Soul Sunday. My name is Justin Joseph Torres, and I am from the Light of Jesus community here in Melbourne, Australia. Take a deep breath. Encounter the Lord. Fill your lungs with the Holy Spirit. And let us listen to today's gospel. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have told you everything I heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. I don't know if you've heard of this saying, love should not be divided, it should be multiplied. This quote came from a very old US TV show, which probably nobody knows right now. And to many, this may sound more as a cliche. In real life, love demands time. It requires a significant amount of effort on the part of the person who loves. And because of this, love may seem to be finite in terms of effort. One can justifiably say, "I can only do so much. Therefore, I can only love as much." Love must therefore be finite, limited, divisible, rather than multipliable. I have to agree, this does make sense. It is the most logical deduction. If loving as an effort is finite, therefore, love can only be divided and not multiplied. However, allow me to argue the opposite. 4 years ago, I received a very special gift from God. A gift my wife and I waited for 4 years. It was the birth of our son, Lucas. I've never been so emotionally invested in my entire life. And I'm saying this with all due respect to my wife. But I know that she also felt the same. The excitement of waiting, the joy of seeing my son's face for the very first time, the overflowing love I never imagined I am capable of showing to anybody in this world. Ah, it's just all or nothing. 4 years later, I still feel the same. I love Lucas so much. I'd do anything for him. I'd cross 4 oceans for him. I'd die for him. He has got my full attention, the 100% of my heart, all of my love. Guess what? Eight months ago, my second boy, Thomas, was born. Before he arrived, I admit I felt anxious about so many things, which includes, how can I be capable of loving another human being if my heart already belonged to Lucas? How can I be so emotionally or as emotionally invested as I have been to my firstborn, to my coming child? Surely it won't be fair for Thomas to be second-rate, a second-rate child, a receiver of latak, as we say in Filipino, or remnants of love that remain unreceived by Lucas. On the 19th of August last year, 2020, Thomas was born. And you know what? My heart stopped all its questioning. After I saw Thomas wrapped in his swaddle and handed to me by the midwife, the experience was just ineffable. The feeling was beyond words, and all I can remember now is that I fell so much in love with this babe I'm holding in my arms. It's the best feeling in the entire world, and the experience is a unique one, a class on its own, incomparable to when I first held Lucas. Lucas and Thomas are equally precious, equally remarkable. The love I was capable of giving to Lucas, I was able to give to Thomas. No matter how my efforts are lacking and my time restricted, being a full-time dad who's also working, my heart knows that my love for Lucas was not diminished after Thomas was born, and that my love for Thomas is as pure as my love for Lucas. It is a mystery, isn't it? But come to think of it, love is not really mathematical. And probably the way we approach love is not right, precisely because love is not an object or quantity. Our minds, nonetheless, are structured to think this way because we can only perceive things if we can count them. If my boyfriend loves me, he will give me a dozen of roses on Valentine's Day. If it is 11, that's the end of it. He does not love me anymore. If my wife loves me, she'll cook my meal, my favorite meal every Sunday. Therefore, if she misses one, I know that she's starting to not love me anymore. If my mom or dad loves me, they would call every day. If they don't, this means that they love my younger brother or sister more. In our gospel reading, Jesus tells us, as the Father loves me, so I also love you. And in the latter portion of the gospel, he gives us the commandment to then love one another as Jesus has loved us. Jesus somehow is telling us that he is aware that we can grow tired of loving because we are limited beings. He acknowledges that we can fail in our loving. We can forget anniversaries, lose our temper over petty things, choose the wrong words, and may be perceived as unloving by our beloved. But he wants us to believe that our love, our capacity to love, flows through from him. And because it is coming from Jesus and from the Father, this love that we are being commanded to give is more powerful than we think it is. Do not stop believing in love. Do not stop loving. Believe that love is never finite. What are the implications of this in our daily lives? I'd like to propose three things. The first one is that God loves us unconditionally. Stop living like a child in a classic Filipino teleserye who has to do everything just to please his father and in the end receive his father's inheritance. You already own the kingdom of God in virtue of you being God's son or daughter. You don't have to do anything to earn God's love. And why is this? Because God's love is not a commodity. His heart does not get emptied out of love. He has so much love, such that he has enough love to supply to his children, whether they are obedient ones or not. Believe in this. Abide in God's love. The second one is this. Do not hesitate to love God back. Another great mystery of love is that it generates a response back. I know of a girl who once said that she really didn't like her boyfriend, but because of his persistence and great love for her, she couldn't help but say yes and love back. I'm not going to say that this girl is my wife, and let's just keep the guy in complete anonymity. If you feel God's love, how can you not love back? Now, God does not need us to love him back, but our ability to respond back to God's love increases our sensitivity to his love. It fills our tank and makes us more loving. And the third one is this. Dive in. Love everybody. What exists in your heart is not a commodity. Love. Just love. Do not put any conditions. Do not be afraid of getting hurt. Stop thinking of love as an investment. You won't lose anything when you love, because your heart is capable of accepting anybody. Everybody. Do not get me wrong. Jesus commands us to love one another, not like one another. This makes it more difficult, isn't it? Does it? I know this because we are called to love those, even those we do not like. Do not be afraid. Love without measure, for love cannot be measured. Love, just love. God is love. Inside you is the power to love without measure, and that power is God Himself present in you. May God be glorified forever. Amen.